Possibly this proverb is the most famous one, Proverbs 3, right? More than likely, if you've been saved any length of time, if you're a new Christian, then that's okay. You'll catch up to us. You'll probably pass us. But anyway, for me, it definitely is a key chapter in the book, mainly because of two verses, and that's verses 5 and 6. And you may have other ones that are special to you, but those are the ones that are probably referenced, I would think, throughout a year of preaching in any church. Probably Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are alluded to the most of any other verses in the book of Proverbs, and maybe even in the Bible. They might be used the most, other than maybe some of the Romans Road. But praise God for this lesson on trusting God when it doesn't make sense. And believe me, there will be many times that we're going to be called on to trust God when it doesn't make sense. The problem is, I am the one who thinks it doesn't make sense. God is the one who says, I have everything under control. Just sit down and trust me. And that's hard for us to do, because we like to have control. And God says, trust me. And so I'm thankful that these verses, we're going to look at the first 10 verses tonight. But again, 5 and 6 are very familiar. If you have your Bible open there, you see them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This book, notice the first two words. You see the words, my son, my son. The human penman is the King Solomon. King Solomon, and he's writing to Rehoboam, his son. So it was, first and foremost, that's who it's for, but because it's in the Bible, all scripture is profitable for you and for me. So it's not just for Rehoboam, it's for you and it's for me tonight, and I'm glad for that. There is instruction here for us. And God is molding me and molding you that we would trust him like a child. Children trust, don't they? I mean, they have a huge level of trust. And the problem is, I guess, as we get older, we trust less. But God's word says in the book of Ephesians, Paul said, be followers of me as dear children. So God says, then you need to follow me like your children trusted you, that you were going to take care of them, that you were going to hold them and be there for them. Ephesians 5:1 is where we found that. And so as we grow in our understanding of the Heavenly Father, this is when our trust will grow. How do you understand God more? You read his word. You want to know God more? Open the book. 66 chapters, or 66 books. Lots of chapters. Lots of verses. And this is how we know God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Knowing God that way. In fact, that's going to be our first part. So we're going to look at three areas of trusting God, okay? First one is, our foundation is the Word. So the blank there is foundation. Foundation. The most important part of a structure, normally we would say, is the foundation. I'm not disagreeing with that. If you have a bad foundation and beautiful walls and a beautiful roof, it's not going to matter when things start to erode. So we need to give heed to several things here in the book of Proverbs. It tells us regarding the law is the first one, and the commandments. We're going to do these. We'll cover the law first. But the Word of God is foundational for the Christian life. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for a week or 70 years. You need God's Word every day in your life. Not just on Sunday. It's not like taking a meal on Sunday and saying, okay, I'll see you next Sunday, Bible, when I come back. No, you're going to starve. You're going to starve spiritually. Just like if you had Sunday lunch and that's all you had, and then you came back again on Sunday lunch again, your body's not going to work too well on one meal every 168 hours. Okay? Well, what makes us think that our soul is going to work well on one meal every 168 hours? It's not going to work well. In fact, it's going to be discouraged and defeated, and it's not going to work. And so We as God's people need to realize that. Paul said in Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's what this is. A foundation of the prophets and the apostles, their writings, inspired scripture. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have a foundation of trust with these two words. The first one is the word law. Notice he says in verse 1, my son, forget not my law. My law. Now the word of God. We call it that because it is not a word of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The human penman, this is like the men who wrote the Bible, this pen, Holy Spirit is my hand. And he told them what to write. They were the human penman, but the Holy Spirit was the author. So it's God breathed. So if we know that and we believe that, and I trust you believe that, that's a conviction of Anchor Baptist Church that this is a God-inspired book because the Bible says it is God-inspired. Then if we believe that, then our life must be built on the Bible. Now think about some of these. Lifeway Research in 2026, these are people that do surveys about things, and here's what they said. 31% of American Protestants. Now, I know we're not a Protestant. That's not the Bible lesson tonight, but just so you know, we are not Protestants. We did not come out of the Catholic Church. That could be another time. But anyway, we'll just go with the statistic. 31% of American Protestants read the Bible daily. Did you hear that number? That's 1 out of 3. 50 and up are more spiritual, 35%. 50 and under, 30% every day. Only 30%. That's in 2026. In 2022, a survey was done of evangelicals in Canada. 22% read the Bible every day. That's 1 of every 5 people who claim, I guess, to be Christians, to be saved. I found this on Lifeway.com and doing a little bit more research about this. This is from a February 10th, 2026 article. It said, while the state of discipleship, and this is not saying the condition of discipleship, it's actually a program called State of Discipleship, found Bible engagement to be a positive factor for adults' spiritual growth, previous Lifeway research studies have shown the importance of Bible reading for the next generation. The biggest predictor, listen to this, of whether a child becomes a faithful believer as a young adult is whether or not they regularly read the Bible growing up. Now you say, well, I didn't have Christian parents. Okay, you're not the statistic. But the statistic is in evangelical believer homes, we're not reading the Bible. And yet we say that it's God's word. So in order to trust God, we've got to have our nose in this book. And we've got to not just read it as a textbook, because it's not just a textbook. It is alive. It is the life-changing word of God. And we find all about God, and then we'll talk more about it. So the law. Solomon asked his son to remember the law. Using this pronoun in the first word, verse, my, indicates that Solomon here refers to family direction based on the word of God. It is foundational to a healthy family. We're talking not about physical, but spiritual health. Moses wrote it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Here it is, verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Moses said, talk about the word of God, morning, noon, and night. When you get up, before you go to bed, talk about the Word of God. Emphasize the Word of God. Parents are called to teach the Word of God to their children, and in particular, fathers are given a unique role to play in the spiritual education of their children. Paul said it this way, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's Ephesians 6:4. We have a responsibility. If we're going to trust God, we must be aware of the law. The law. What is needed in our Christian homes today is intentional biblical saturation. We are saturated with everything many times but the Bible. We need to change that. We need to saturate our homes with the Word of God. One way that we saturate not just our in the home, but as our family, is where you're at tonight. This is a great time to be here at Anchor Baptist Church, and it will be on Sunday morning at 10:30, and it will be on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it will be on Sunday at 4, like he said, and next Wednesday, and on and on it goes. Be in church. Saturate yourself with the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the singing many times, even of scriptural principles. The Word of God needs to be in our ears, in our eyes, in our mind, everywhere. We have so much time for a lot of other things, and not that those things are wrong, but what is best? It's best that we have time in the Word of God. We leave room for other things, and they take the place of Christ many times. We must guard against that. God's Word and God's people must be a priority. Robert Chapman said this, "The great cause of neglecting the Scriptures is not want of time, but want of heart. Some idol taking the place of Christ." What idol has taken the place of reading the Word of God? May God help us. We as a church, you need to pray that Anchor Baptist Church always stays grounded in the Word of God. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, "Study to show thyself." Don't call him Timmy, okay? That's Timothy back there. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." What? "Rightly dividing the word of truth." He told him, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And we need to pray that God keeps it. Why? Because for a time they will have itching ears. Just scratch my ear, Pastor. Don't step on my toes. Scratch my ear. No, if our toes need to be stepped on, please don't step on mine. But if our toes need to be stepped on spiritually, go ahead. Step on them, Pastor, if I need it. And do it in love, but step on them. Don't tickle my ears. The law. Secondly, the commandments. The commandments. "My son, forget not my law," verse 1, "but let thine heart keep my commandments." In other words, God did not just give us his word to read it. Right? He gave us his word to obey it. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Right? I don't know if that guy really believes, because, you know, there's not a lot of fruit there. Oh, you're being judgmental. No, I'm not. I'm using the word of God, because the word of God says, by their fruit you will know them. So if there's no spiritual fruit, what is that saying? Think about it, okay? God didn't just write all these words so that you and I could read them and then, okay, I'm going to just decide whether or not I want to obey or not. No. We have to obey. Why? God loves us and we love God. I hope we do. They're commandments. They're commandments. They are meant to be obeyed. To keep God's commandments is to obey them intentionally. Intentionally. You can't set out in the Christian life and say, I hope I'll obey God. No, you can't do that. Because I'll tell you what'll happen. And I can't do that either. If that's my attitude, the devil's going to pounce on that. And when he's going to be ready to get on me and nail me, and I'm not going to obey God. Why? Because it has to be intentionally. Many times I've said this over 25 years. Decide before you have to decide.
When the Bible says something about how you should live your life, make that a conviction. Don't waver. I believe the message of the Word of God, not ever perfectly, ever will be by this guy anyway, but if you go back and you listen to the preaching 25 years ago, I don't know if we have any of that, but if you go back and you listen, it'll be a lot squeakier voice and a lot more sounding southern voice, but it'll be the Word of God. And today, as I stand here for you today, I am a sinner saved by grace, but you must decide now how you're going to live your life. Don't wait until the decision comes. Decide now. Decide now that you're never going to drink alcohol. Decide now. And if you've never made that decision, make it now. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, I can have just a little bit. How do you know how much you can handle? Don't gamble on that. Alcohol has done more to destroy homes and destroy lives and destroy. You ask those kids that are now adults that I used to go preach to in the prison, and a lot of them are there because their dad was drunk or high. Why gamble? Why gamble? Why take the risk? There's nothing valuable in it. Decide. That was just one thing that came to mind. Decide. Commandments. You've got to do it intentionally. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Notice what's happening here. A lot of good things. Silver and thy gold is multiplied. Verse 14. Then thine heart is lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. When life's going well, we just live it up. But then when we crash, when I crash, oh God, help me. That's the Israelites, isn't it? That's what they did. They had quite the cycle going on, didn't they? To do this, I must bind God's word close to my heart, that it's a regular source of spiritual nourishment. George Mueller was a missionary to England. He was from Germany. And George Mueller had this to say, now what is food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water passes through a pipe, but considering what we read, considering it, pondering over it and applying it to our hearts. So it's not just reading Proverbs 3 on the third of every month, closing my Bible and going about my day. What did God just tell me there? What did I learn from that? Proverbs 3:22. You're in the Proverbs 3 there. Look at verse 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. We are to keep the Word of God close to our hearts, much like a necklace binds a piece of jewelry close to the lady's heart. The Word of God adds grace to our spiritual neck, if you will. How can we bind the Word of God to our hearts? Again, we mentioned it earlier, expose yourself to the Word of God as much and as often as you can. Warren Wiersbe said this, we must receive the word every opportunity we have, in class, in church services, through reading. The better you know your Bible, the better you will know God's will for your life. Well, I don't know God's will. How often, how much Bible do you read? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Trying to think of that verse that says, I make a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where's that at? It's in Psalms somewhere. 119. Psalm 119, 111, thy word have I hid in my heart, but then there's somewhere in there, I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I lost the address. Somewhere in there. Proverbs 3:3 says, bind them about thy neck. Bind them. Bind what? Mercy and truth. See that? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Take mercy and truth and bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of my heart. Immersing myself in God's word has more value than my mouth can tell you. In fact, you cannot immerse yourself too much in the Bible. Joshua 1:8, another powerful verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, day and night. Did you find it? 119:105. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Direction, right? Okay, number two, our focus is Christ. So our foundation is the word. Our focus is Christ. By the way, these build on each other. When you are in the word, your focus will be on Christ because it always points to Christ. It's not going to point us to man. It's going to point us to Christ. So praise the Lord for that. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So three things are given in Proverbs 3 regarding my focus on Christ. Number one is the whole theme of this message, this series, trust in him. So the blank there is trust. This is an intentional putting my confidence in the Lord. Again, it must be intentional. And it's not based on my circumstances. It's not based on everything going right or everything going wrong. Either way, we trust God. We trust in him. It must be lived intentionally. One reason we can confidently rely on God is that his wisdom and knowledge are way beyond ours. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. God does not need counsel, but I do. Romans 11:33-34, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Again, how do we get into this depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God? His word. As a believer, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So we have the author of the word of God in us, who will help us and direct us to all truth. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? An atheist barber was cutting a pastor's hair. This man asked the pastor, if there is a loving God, how can he allow poverty, war, and suffering? At that moment, a disheveled man passed by the barber's shop window. Pointing in the man's direction, the pastor asked the barber, you are a barber and claim to be a good one. So how can you allow that man to go unkept and unshaven? The barber said, he never gave me a chance to cut his hair. The pastor said, exactly. The suffering of this world does not indicate there is no God, but that man has choices to reject him. And this is so true. God made a place where there was no sin. God made a place perfect. And mankind ruined it. You said, well, I didn't ruin it, but you would have if you'd have been named Adam. So would I. Okay, all you ladies, if you'd have been named Eve. Hello, Adam. Try this. I wasn't there. I didn't make the decision. Yeah, but how many times have you sinned in your life? Come on now. God calls me to trust him with my entire heart, the totality of my heart. He asked me to trust him with a pure heart. We looked at this verse on the Lord's Day, Matthew 5:8, and here we have God repeating it. Don't miss it. What is God trying to tell you and me? You heard it Sunday morning, and now God is putting it here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Remember, we said that wasn't vision. It was they will know God in a greater way. So we've heard it twice. There's a positive and a negative choice within this wholehearted trust. Positively, it is a decision to lean into God. Proverbs 3, are you there? Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So the negative is to, positively first, it's to decide to lean into God. He is the only one who can sustain us. And negatively, not rely on me. So positively, rely completely on God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto what I understand. I know what it says there, thine own understanding. But in all my ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. The word for lean there is the Hebrew, lean not is the Hebrew word sha'an. S-H-A-A-N. Sha'an. It means to lean on, trust in, support, lean upon. We always need the wisdom that only God can provide. So, trust in him. Secondly, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Verse 6. This has to do with knowledge, as you see there, the word knowledge. It is not simply recognizing that he exists, however. As I look over here, I see Brother Colton, and I acknowledge him. He exists. He's right there. That's not what it's saying. But aware of one's presence and having fellowship with that one, being acknowledged. So I'm acknowledging God in all my ways, meaning I want God to lead my life. I'm not just acknowledging that God exists, I'm acknowledging God to the point of, God, you lead the way. Many people say, oh, I believe in God, but they aren't living their life like they believe in God. May it not be that of you and I know we all fail, okay? But may it be that but consistently, we're not just saying, I believe there's a God, but I also want God to lead me, and I want to follow his way. Proverbs 3, 7, so acknowledge him, trust him. Thirdly, fear him. Fear him. Verse 7 in our text, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. A fear of God recognizes that God is the judge. And God's ways are always right. Always. God knows what you choose. God knows what I choose. And he will chasten those who disobey him. He will not chasten unsaved people, but he will chasten saved people. Does your life, does my life, and the way that I'm living it when no one is looking, as if God's blind, does it show that I fear God? Or do I not have any fear for God that I'm willing to do whatever my flesh wants to do? See, as a Christian, we need to fear God. And that fear comes not in I'm scared of God. No, fear God means I know God's ways are best and I know God's ways are right. And I want to follow God's ways, even when my flesh is saying, do something else. This is more fun. No, I got to die to the flesh. I got to die to self because I fear God. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord. When we fear the Lord, as we should, we will obey him. Could I take you to a couple of passages? Here's what I just quoted, but maybe you want, let's look at it in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 12. Maybe you haven't marked it. Maybe you want to mark it. Ecclesiastes 12. It's a great passage to have quick on speed dial. Ecclesiastes 12. Just a couple books over. One book over. Look at verse 13, next to the last verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, again, a lot of Ecclesiastes is talking about, you know, life is vanity and vanities. And I mean, it's a train wreck. Read it. I mean, when I read it, I think, man, how could anybody live that way? And yet I know sometimes I live, you know, like I want to live. And it's vanity when we do that. But finally, he comes to his senses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every, what's the next two words? Secret thing. Secret things. How many secret things are in your life? How many secret things are in our life? There's no secret things to God. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear him. So, we have the foundation is God's word. When I'm founded on the word of God, I'm going to be focused on Christ. Then, lastly, our future is directed. And I think we touched on this a little bit. Our future is directed. Wow. If we're not living in a day of people, including myself, that need direction, we all do, don't we? What should we do? Where should we go? How should we live? What am I going to do? Hey, direction is very simple right here. It's in God's word. I just told somebody earlier today, it may not have a name, your name and number and what to do, but it has principles in this book to guide everybody in this room. Right here. And when you live your life by the Bible, and I live my life by the Bible, guess what's going to happen? Blessings. Blessings. They're going to come. But first, you and I have to obey. It's not, oh, God, give me all the blessings, and then I'll obey you. No, that's not how it works. We obey first. And God always blesses obedience. The Word of God will bring blessings into our lives. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. Direct. You got those construction zones where they're holding up stop. You know, go ahead and go. You know, something like that. Went through one earlier today. I only ran over two people. It was all right. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Brother Ryan. It wasn't you. Sometimes that's the way life is. There's only one lane, and there's like five lanes of traffic. You know what you need? You need direction. You better watch the right sign. You find that in the scripture. Because there's a lot of times when life is, you know, it's really hard to know what to do. Be still and know that he is God. Let his word be your guide. The Spirit of God will guide you by the word of God. That's the first blank, direction from the Lord. Direction. As I go through life and as you go through life, challenges will come. Financial limitations, relationship struggles, health problems. I mean, the list is long and it's hard to handle on your own. But I'm thankful tonight to tell you all that even though your life and my life is up and down all around, God's word is not changing. It is an anchor. It's there for you. It's there for me. And you know, God is so merciful that I could ignore his word for weeks and weeks and weeks. And yet, even if I come back to it, I don't do that. But if I did and I came back to it and repented, he would say, okay, what do you need? It's right here. God is so merciful to me and to you, isn't he? That this book is right there. It will direct us. Just in your regular life, too. And whatever that is, right? We need direction from the Lord. Good times, we need direction. Challenging times, we need direction. God's word brings it. Not only direction from the Lord, but we need provision from the Lord. Number two, provision from the Lord. God promises to provide everything you need and I need to do his will. We don't have to do God's will in our own strength. Now, we usually read 5 and 6 or 1 through 6, and then we stop. But let's take a look at something a little bit further down. If I honor God, he will honor me. If I honor God, and I know we rabbit trailed it on Sunday, but this is in the notes tonight. If we honor God in our giving of our tithes and our offerings. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine what? increase. I need to honor God with the increase of my substance, my finances. When I do that, here's the promise in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I'm called first to honor the Lord with the first part, the first fruits. Deuteronomy 26. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 26. Trust in the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense. Give 10%? That doesn't make sense. There's a recession, Pastor. Gas prices are going nuts. Give a tithe? That doesn't make sense. Okay, talk about it in a minute. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. And it shall come... No, that's 28. And it shall be, when thou art come and unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And in that day they would give their offering, they would give their fruits, they would give whatever they harvested off the land, they would give it to the priest. And that was how the priest lived. And we have a similar system today. Yes, we are not under the law, we are under grace. So then, most people like to say that because they don't want to give a tithe. And so then I say, well, if you're under grace, you should give more than a tithe. And you should give more than 10% because you're under grace. But that usually doesn't go very far in the conversation. And so anyway, we believe in the tithe here at Anchor Baptist Church. And we give this in response to what we learn from the Word of God. And we're not giving to get. We're giving because we trust the Lord to provide. Mark 12, 43 and 44, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The amount is not the important thing, the spirit in which it is given is. Don't give grudgingly. Give cheerfully. Again, Proverbs gives us a promise. God always blesses obedience. Even Luke 6:38. That's another promise in the New Testament. Give and it shall be given unto you. By the way, when we speak about giving, it's not to build the coffers of the church and have like stacks of money all over the place. That's not why we talk about giving. When we talk about giving, it's because we will miss out on blessings from the Lord if we don't give. In Malachi, he says that if you rob God, that there's going to be a devourer that's going to come. But when you honor God with your offerings and your tithes, he's going to rebuke the devourer. God blesses giving. We're not talking about giving to God to become wealthy. The prosperity gospel is not what we preach here. Amen. Because it's false. Did we ever read of the widow getting a huge amount of money back from the Lord? I didn't read that. As far as I know, she still went on being a widow. A simple lady. Meaning, it's not about the fact that if we give, God's going to pour us back financially, but God is going to bless us. We have no way how it's going to come. That's up to the Lord. But if you don't give, then verse 10, you're not going to have full barns. It's right there. First, we give. The blessings that God gives in response to our giving are not always material. I love how Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Our willingness to give is directly related to our trust in God. Think about it. If we are willing to give, it's because we trust God that his word is true. But if we're holding on to something that belongs to God because we think we need it, it's because we don't really trust God. To give in obedience to the Lord can be a step of faith. But I tell you what, if you take that step of faith, your faith will grow. Because God will never let the righteous be forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Proverbs 3, lots of promises for us in our life, praise the Lord. That we can walk by faith even when it doesn't make sense. Three main points. Our foundation is the Word of God. How much time do you give to the Bible every day? Probably all of us could give a little more. And when we have the Bible as our foundation, our focus will be on Christ naturally. Because the Bible's always going to point to Christ. And if we keep the Bible as our foundation and our focus on Christ, those two will direct our path. We aren't here tonight by luck. There's no such thing as luck. We aren't here by luck. We're here by the sovereignty of God. We're here because we've let God, to this point, direct our path. Think of it. You've let God direct your path to a degree. Some of you are still at home under your parents' roof. They're directing your path. I pray they're directing it by the Word of God. There will come a day, though, when you get out from under their roof. And when you become an adult, making your own decisions, then we're going to see, and then you're going to need to say, okay, I want God to direct my path. Mom's not here anymore to do it. Dad's not here to do it anymore. So am I going to live my life like God is directing my path, or am I going to live my life like I'm directing my path? Let me encourage you young people here tonight, whatever you age you think is young, you've got to have time in this book. Most times when teenagers get old enough to make decisions about church and they leave church, I would probably bet you, even though I'm not a betting man, I would bet you 99% of the time they didn't have a close walk with God and his word. 1 out of 100 would say, oh yeah, I read my Bible, but that's going to be 1 out of 100. Because if we're walking with God and his word, we are going to be focused on Christ. And we're going to yield and let God direct our path. It can't just be a Sunday thing. The Christian life can't just be a Sunday thing. That's what I meant to say. Can't be that. The Christian life can't just be coming even on Wednesday night. Praise God you're here and we're here. I'm glad you're here. It would have been not so much fun preaching to my wife and Colton if you didn't show up. They're going to show up. I'm teasing. I'm glad. But it's not just coming to church. It's really opening up this book at some point every day and saying, God, open mine eyes. Open mine eyes. I want to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's pray. Heavenly